side of the road, a bundle of twine, and all that I found to know, it went me running to me at that time.
Oh my God, it is the Friday night hangout. My voice is going out, hopefully. The panel. Oh, wait, it's just Dan tonight.
What's the singular? Is panel like the plural? And the...
I don't know what's going on.
Is that
octopi? People don't like the fact that I moved the event, the pre-show stuff to Facebook events. And I don't know, all of a sudden, ever since I did that, the amount of panelists have dropped significantly. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's a sign for new panelists. I don't know.
I think it's the fact that Google keeps on messing around with Hangouts. So it's just making it intolerable.
That is most likely that Google is really messing things up for me and making sure that the panelists know when to jump in. But anyway, after 3 years, you think people would have the habit, the routine set in by now. Anyway, no biggie here. Friday night hangout, we have a brew, shoot the breeze. Hopefully Dan will talk a lot tonight because my voice can't hang on too long tonight.
You don't want me to talk a lot. Trust me, your numbers will go down so bad. Oh, no.
For those listening on the podcast, hopefully it won't sound too bad. But we have a lot of interesting topics tonight here, so we're going to get settled in. Of course, we'll do the round of intros. We got from the dark side, Dartmouth, we got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
Good evening there, Jim. Actually, with your hoarse voice, why don't we put a little twist to it and go into do one of those ASMR things where you do like deep, soft whispering and then excite our listeners, their neurons and their brains with that.
Yeah, the SMDR, which is the whispering YouTube site. Yeah. I got a bottle of Buckley's. I'm going to open it up. Okay, oh, hang on. Here's the spoon. I'm going to put some Buckley's on the spoon.
Today I paid my taxes.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. That was probably 100,000 views on YouTube right there. ASMDR is the biggest. I don't get it. There's a lot of genres on YouTube, and I mentioned last week about vac beds. But ASMDR or these whispering YouTube videos, I don't get it. Aaron.
Yeah, there's a fetish for everything.
All right, so we've got a number of people jumping in. Folks, if you're watching us live, you can contribute via the Twitter hashtag FNHangout or via the YouTube chat if you're watching on YouTube. Of course, on podcasts, you can't really do that. But, hey, download and listen, and that will do just enough.
What about for CompuServe viewers? Anyone on CompuServe?
No, only a dial-up for
Yeah. Sorry, folks. You're going to have to be on some sort of high speed. Oh. And I think Jim just dropped. So now welcome to Dan's Hangouts, where we shoot the breeze and talk about things that don't involve Halifax for some reason. Oh, hey, Jim. How's it going?
Oh, hey. It's a good night for the internet to just fail. Oh, my God.
Well,
what a show. Hey, Carrie. Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, Carrie. Oh.
And we lost Carrie.
Oh, I hope it gets back.
I think this is North
Korea fucking around with their shit. Oh, sorry, 934.
No, that's okay.
Fooling around with their technologies.
In Newfoundland, it's past 10, so we can do it. Okay. You know what? This is definitely not going to be in the best of. All right, let's do a round of what we're drinking tonight. Dan, what are we drinking tonight?
I went to I keep on forgetting the name of the beer store over at the Sobeys there.
Rocket.
Yes, and I decided to try out their Martello Stout. I like stouts. I like the dark, heavier, mealier beers, and even though this is only 5%. By taste, you would swear it's more.
Yes.
Yeah, it is quite good. Again, it's an oatmeal stout.
It's very thick. You can see by the coloration of it, it's quite dark, and I'm enjoying it considerably. Again, only 5%, but it doesn't feel like it's 5%.
And this is Garrison's. They redid the branding, and they redid some of the sizing for the bottles, so you would only find that in six packs, but now they're doing the bomber bottles, 750 mils. Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Propeller Revolution.
All right, Imperial Stout.
Imperial Stout.
Why? It's a stout night.
It's stout night.
I should have followed you guys' lead. I picked up from Upstreet Craft Brewing from PEI, the White Noise, White IPA, 7% beer. You got some of the taste profile right here. Very citrus in terms of the hoppiness. It's kind of a white haze, kind of like a Hope and Garden. Flavors, you got a lot of bitterness and also a lot of sweets from the malt. So it's a fairly intense beer, but it's really good. I like it a lot.
Mm.
All right, so we got a number of people watching, folks. Twitter, hashtag FN Hangout or the YouTube live chat. Let's get going with the first topic tonight. I just want to show this video that came out. We talked about previously in the Hangouts the dangers of the ocean and how people would go on Piggy's Cove, get close to the rocks, get swept away by the ocean. Here's a perfect example. This is in France. Yeah, the Breton coast in France. People getting a little too close to the ocean. And this is what we're talking about, the undertow, right? You know, you got people here just looking at the pictures, looking at the waves, taking some pictures. Here's Buddy with his smartphone. He's looking, trying to get a good shot, waiting for that wave to come in. He's getting a little closer. Maybe that's a little too close, Buddy.
You got to zip up to about the 215 mark. Because that's when you can see all hell break loose. So, yeah, zip up to about 215.
All right, here we go. So he's done taking some pictures. Here's our old couple coming in. Big waves coming in. They keep walking in. And whoops.
Now, I saw this originally on Reddit. And I know this is like horrifying to watch, but if you watch the person in the white, they literally like lie back into it, like accepting their fate almost.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just gonna get flushed out to the ocean, and his poor wife just running after him, trying to rescue him from the waves. The guy that was in the beginning of the video, she's just getting there. They could have just easily smashed against the rocks there. Luckily, you have the guy who's trying to save them. They did make it out safely.
But yeah,
man, you don't think about it. Ocean, it is scary.
It's something not to be told. Like, to speak to anybody that lives in a coastal area or anyone that spends any considerable amount of time with boats and the sea, and you do not turn your back to the ocean.
Oh, man. Anyway, so that was one of the videos I saw this week that kind of caught my interest there, so I wanted to share that with you since we talked about something similar here in Nova Scotia a few weeks ago. Let's move on to the next one here, another Nova Scotia story here. We got the Amherst Bank of Montreal building going up for demolition. Pretty interesting here about this story. Basically, the building was abandoned a number of years ago, more than a couple years ago. Didn't really maintain the building. Now, from afar, it may look like it's in pretty good shape, but I drove in front of this with Keith a couple months ago, and it is ready to fall apart. It is a historic building, sandstone. I believe if Keith was here tonight, he would say that the sandstone is from a different source, not as durable as the Wallace sandstone. It's basically falling apart. And the decision the city council decided to tear it down, but there's, you know, a few people who want to try to keep it up. But you know what? I don't know. If you get close to it, it is literally almost falling down. So
is it like looking at the picture? It almost looks like it's leaning. Is that correct, or is that just the angle of the shot? Because if you look at it, from the base of the building up to the roofline of the building, it seems like the gap widens versus the neighboring building.
Oh, it probably does. It was built in the 40s there. Carrie, is there anything, any buildings like that in Cape Breton that are still standing? And Carrie's gone. Carrie has some technical difficulties tonight.
I think we're all having technical difficulties.
Oh, my God. This is not a best of episode at all. yeah, you know, and but right next to the BMO building, to the right of that picture, is another, I think, is the Bank of Nova Scotia. It uses a different type of sandstone, and they're moving out. That is in way better shape.
Yes.
So, you know, there's part of me is like, yeah, you want to keep a historic building up, but if it's not standing up and you're going to spend a lot of money trying to keep it up, you know, just tear it down.
The demolition alone is $125,000 just to demolish it. And then the actual cost, if you scroll down further down, like it's a $1.5 million project to actually, you know, try and update it and make it safe again. That's a lot of money for, like, I don't know what sort of income the city of Amherst has to kind of support such a project.
Well, you said it right there, Dan. $100,000 to tear it down, do something else with it, or at least $1 million to just renovate it, get it up to snuff. I mean, it says it right there. You know, it's not worth. They could have done something when they moved out to take ownership right away and keep the heat on and do something with it. But
I mean, I feel sorry about losing any sort of historic building, but at the same point, it's a bank that's running it, and banks have deep pockets, regardless of the economy.
Exactly. Now, Amherst is going through a really tough time. Across the street from that picture, you have Dale's General Store, and they closed after being in business for, I don't know, 1,000 years. We bought our living room table and side tables from there a couple years ago. We searched everywhere in Halifax trying to find the perfect, you know, living room, coffee table, side table set. And we were coming back from a camping trip. We stopped in Amherst for a, you know, potty break. And we're like, hey, there's a store here. Let's go in for giggles. And we found our perfect set. And we bought it, happy ever since. They're closing, unfortunately. Beautiful building. One of these old historic General Store buildings, you know, 4 stories high, the banister stairwell. I mean, it's crazy. It's just too bad. So anyway, point is, Amherst is going through a little bit of a downturn, you know, for a little while. But you know, they are on the border and such. So, and Carrie, before we lose you there, any historic buildings in Cape Breton that should be saved, or they should just be demolished, since we're talking about the Amherst Bank of Montreal?
I don't think any of the – there may be one or two around, I think, that are that old. I think the Glace Bay Town – the old Glace Bay Town Hall is one of the old stone structures. The Glace Bay Post Office, which is a government building, which just has granite front and everything else, that's falling into disrepair too, and they're thinking about – trashing that. What else? Oh, there's a ton of other derelict buildings that have been gone up for taxes that are just wood stick frame structures that can be torn down any minute. So there's a big cleanup. Some of the ones in Sydney are probably pretty good because they probably use different stone.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying earlier about, you know, next door to the BMO building, you had the Bank of Nova Scotia building, which used the more local Wallace sandstone compared to the sandstone from New Brunswick or whatever. But this is a problem where we have, I find that here, our historic buildings are not meant to last. You go, you travel down to New England, you see all these historic buildings, and they seem to be built to last, but our buildings don't seem, our stone buildings don't seem to be lasting very well. So, anyway, I guess it just has to do with the environment, you know, harsh environment, the materials.
Yeah, that could be, because I've been to Concord, New Hampshire, or Concord,
Vermont? No, New Hampshire.
Concord, New Hampshire. And their stone buildings are excellent. They've been there for almost 200 years, and they're really, really good. So it must be the local stone.
Yeah, because this Bank of Montreal building is only like 70 years old, so it's not lasting. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic, folks. This is another local story. Word on the street is that the Nova Scotia visitor centers might be closing this year. We had a couple closed last year. I don't know about you guys, but I think they could probably close a few. But the one at Amherst, which is the main, you know, point, the one maybe at the Halifax Airport and the Halifax Waterfront, maybe Port Hawkesbury. Other than that, I don't see the need for visitor centers in this day and age. You go to different states, you go to different provinces. Not a lot of overall provincial tourism offices. You may get some regional tourism offices, but they're not that many left.
No, I agree. I mean, any sort of major point of entry into the province, yes. Even Amherst, maybe. I can see the ones that involve international travelers, people that don't have a real sense of the geography of the area. So again, your the main port there, and also and the Halifax Airport, and a couple of the huge historic sites like your Peggy's Cove, the little center there. Other than that, with a good book like the Fodors, or even the internet in your pocket now, it's hard to justify those.
Now that being said, when I did my little road trip to Montreal last fall, one of the things I wanted to do is stop by visitor centers to do a little bit of market research for some of the projects I'm doing this spring. And I stopped by three visitor centers, but they were maintained by the city. So we did one, I forget where I stopped. But anyway, wasn't open. I stopped at Drummondville. They had a nice little visitor center there. Montreal just built a brand new one at their district on the South Shore, for those who know that's ridiculous part of town. Beautiful little place there with free Wi-Fi, couches, and all the stuff there. You know, maybe it's just a different way of thinking of what visitor centers are nowadays. You know, it's basically, you know, it could just be a space where you get travelers to stop in, plug in their phones to recharge, sit on the couch, you know, plan their journey. Maybe there's some literature that they might need or didn't think of as they're perusing. You know, there might be still an opportunity, but I think at very specific points, like you said, Dan, Piggy's Cove or international points.
Well, to top off what you said, they already kind of have those. They're called Tim Hortons. You just go to the Tim Hortons, you get your free Wi-Fi, you get your double-double, and all they have to do is put a wall of like little brochures on the side, and then you're done.
Well, in New Brunswick, they call the Irvings the Big Stops. That's where New Brunswick Tourism have little tourism brochures and maps and all that stuff at the Big Stops. You fill up your gas, stop at the restaurant, get a little bit of stuff there at a couple points across the province. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. Like you said, you know, you have stuff in your pocket. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a new age, and we have to kind of adapt to it. So, actually, why not have Tim Hortons be promoted as being a source of, or Tim Hortons? Let's make it classier. We'll make it a second cup.
All right, so let's do a quick round of let's move on to the next topic then. Sorry, I was hoping there'd be some comments in the live tweet or the Twitter. There's none yet, so we'll move on to the next story, folks. A few of us, we talked about using services to look at the American Netflix or eliminate the country restrictions when we use video streaming services. A few of the panelists talked about Hola. And a friend of mine from Australia, he sent me a thing. He said, hey, listening to the podcast, you guys talked about Hola. Check this article out. Basically, Hola, when you're using these IP services, Hola, but basically they were taking your IP and using it for nefarious usage. So when you log into these sites, you're basically trading IPs. You trade your IP for an American IP or Brazilian IP or a France IP. We don't really think about if the company is doing anything with our IP addresses, but it looks like Hola, they just use IPs willy-nilly, like some stuff here, DDoS attacks on 8chan, which is a naughty, naughty website, and maybe some other stuff here. So if you don't want to get tangled into stuff that you don't want to deal with on the internet, maybe Hola is not what you want to use.
I mean, I downloaded the extension, and it worked well for... I don't necessarily use it for Netflix, but every now and then you come across YouTube content, which is only available within the States. For example, anything from Comedy Central you can only view when you're from a U.S. IP. And it worked fine for that, but after I read about this, guess what's been removed from my browser?
Hell yeah.
Hola. More like adios.
Well, not only that, I was using Unblock Us. And they've been having a lot of problems, and then I get an email, hey, we can't process PayPal payments anymore. Why is that? Why are you blacklisted on PayPal? You know, if you're blacklisted on PayPal, you know what? I'm not going to give you my money. So, and then I think they wanted a credit card, and it's like, no, I think we're done. I asked the missus, hey, Paw Patrol is not on the American Netflix, it's on the Canadian Netflix. Can we still?
Yep. That meets all you need right there.
That's right. And between that and YouTube and... is Carrie still frozen? Carrie's having trouble tonight.
Yeah, this is brutal. Actually, one of the things I'm noticing, I don't know if this is going to pick up the Hangout itself, but every time it's just you and I, your audio is like crystal clear.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as he jumps in, or I don't know if that's just...
I heard it too. I hear the difference. Now, I don't know if people who are watching us live can notice the difference, but we've been noticing the difference. I've been noticing it too. The last two times he was jumping in, I was noticing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna go through the Hangout quick tonight, folks. It's just me and Dan tonight. We got Grease Stain, actually Mustang Mike from Newfoundland. He was saying, "Hey, gang, I am in bed drinking a strawberry milkshake. Hope I don't lose my Avoiding Chores membership card." You don't, because we don't issue them. You just have to have the hat.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Dan, you're on notice, son.
I'm on notice.
Anyway.
Oh, that was a glass.
He said that he has his foot propped up. He sprained his ankle a couple weeks ago, so he's in bed rest right now. Oh, Grease Stain from Cape Breton said, must be something going on. He's on ibuprofen, ankle brace, hot cold packs, and whiskey thing. I don't know about the whiskey that was prescribed, but there must be something going on with Islanders.
Is that like Newfoundlanders in February? Is it some sort of
I don't know.
Issue that we don't know about?
Grease Stain saying, don't know, but a lot of bad childhood a lot of bad choices from childhood. So,
well, I hope you guys get a little bit better. That must really affect employability during that time frame.
Hell yeah. All right, let's do a quick round of what we're drinking tonight. I am drinking the Upstreet Brewing from PI White Noise Black White IPA, 7% beer. Basically, very citrus taste, malty haze look, and a lot of malt sweets to kind of bounce it out. So overall, very intense kind of beer. Very smooth, very good. I mean, you'd use this for, they say here, they give some food tasting notes here, which is chili, and you do this after a day of skiing, which is kind of ironic because there's not a lot of places you can ski in Prince Edward Island. There's maybe there's one hill, one little hill.
Where is it, like Summerside area? Or?
It's in between Summerside and, well, actually, it's nearer to Crépole. I forget the name, but yeah, you go up to 13, and it's there at one point. Anyway, music, they suggest chill beats or the Friday night hangout for this beer.
Damn straight.
All right. Grease Stain says that whiskey helps with the mood. Probably helps with the pain, too, which is probably why you got your ankle sprained, son. Anyway.
the question being, was that done on purpose to have an excuse to have whiskey?
I don't think he needs any excuse to have whiskey. He's a very, I think he's a very well-lubed individual when he wants to, right?
Are we going to get an explicit tag on this now?
No. Oh, God. Dan, what are you drinking to me?
I'm still working on the Martello Stout. When I say working, I should say I'm enjoying. As I'm drinking more and more of this, it's really going down nice and smooth. I'm really, really liking to this. The last couple of beers I've had in the Hangouts have been sort of on the meh sort of scale, and this one's been the first one in a long while that I've really enjoyed as I continue going down it. For those who drink the Martello Stout from Garrison, it suggests that you drink it at 5 to 8 degrees centigrade. That is the premium temperature to be enjoying your Martello Stout.
I haven't had a Martello Stout in the last little while, but I haven't tried it since they rebranded in their larger bottles. So I should pick that up, give that a try. All right. We all love the new car smell. Mm-hmm. Right? Those of us who are able to upgrade cars once in a while, when you sit into your new space mobile, updated technology, take a whiff in, new car smell. And what you do, you try to extend that smell as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as off-gassing because all the chemicals are in the artificial fabrics. But who knew? There are testers who test the off-gas to make sure that it doesn't smell, to make sure we don't fall unconscious. I did not know about the extent of this testing. Man, they put fabrics in mason jars. They leave it at 73 Fahrenheit, and then they heat it up to 104 with humidity, and then 176 for really, really hot days, and just so that nobody dies. And who, like Dan, leather. Who knew different countries don't like the smell of hot, sticky leather?
I say I love it. Bring it on. I'm one of those people that like will just open the window a crack just to make sure I get some, you know, nice breeze coming through, but not try to lose that new car smell because it's like a stamp of luxury in my books, especially the nice hot leather. I love it. Love it.
It's good
stuff, like, my wife just got a, new to us car. It's a 2013. And of course the detailers, when they get a car prime, put all the wonderful chemical baths just to purdy it all up. And, it's the smell of decadence. Love it.
Decadence. When I got into my new Kia Rio 5-speed manual, Kia Rio. Oh, no. I said 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Damn. I missed that. They know, because that car smell was a little bit more on the acidic side. Mm-hmm. When I got into my Ford Focus hatchback, because I got to haul a dog and a kid in a stroller, you know, it was a little bit more on the musty side.
The eau de focus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we went from a Mazda 5. It was a 2008 Mazda 5 that was starting to come to its midlife. And we're like, And we're now the happy owners of a 2013 Hyundai Elantra GL.
Well, that's not bad.
Heated seats are a beautiful thing at this time of year.
Oh, dude. I got my heated seat on my new Ford Focus. Mm-hmm. My heated seats, the scale goes from 1 to 5. It's been on 3 most of the winter so far. So it's, yeah, I mean, you know, when I got into my dad's car a number of years ago and he had heated seats, I'm like, what are you doing with heated seats, old man? You don't need heated seats.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Once you get your own heated seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you also find the cars that have the heated steering wheel as well.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice this week. It was kind of cold. I didn't have my gloves on. Oh, Lee on the live chat says, hey, just jumping in, say hi. Got to go back to some last-minute podcast work. Martello Stout is consistent, thin for the style, but very drinkable. I'm glad Garrison is doing the big bottle for that. We got to reload now, and then due to the errors in the feed, grease stain, a lot of people are having issues with the feed tonight. There's a lot of issues with everything tonight. We got people can't jump into the panel. I've been kicked out a couple times. The feed's been kicked out a couple times.
I'm telling you, it's North Korea.
It is definitely not the best of edition. Mm-hmm. Definitely not the best of edition. But we do have a number of people watching, so I thank all of you for watching. Slovenian Town goes ahead with their plans to build a fountain which spouts beer instead of water.
Mm-hmm.
Despite opposition,
people that just don't enjoy beer are opposing that. So this is three of them in Slovenia.
So this is Zalek, known for its hop plantations, being described as the first beer fountain in Europe, made headlines in neighboring Croatia and in Serbia. Doesn't have a completion date, but.
Now, for those who are wondering as well, it's not like a childhood fountain where you kind of go up and you put your mouth, wrap your mouth around the spout and just kind of suck all the juice out of it. No. This is a proper sort of spigot where you actually pay €6 and then you get the equivalent of 3 10-ounce servings of beer from said fountain. So I don't know how they're collecting the money or if it's like a sort of like served outdoors in a gazebo or whatever, but it's a publicly sponsored like Beer La Palooza.
Are they recycling the beer?
No more questions. Know,
the beer that doesn't go into the... I don't know, I'm just saying. Think about logistics.
Oh, I'm just worried about like backwash, but now you're going to
backwash. Oh, I don't know. That's a weird one. $12 to get a couple pints of beer.
Now, if you're in Halifax, and let's say the good mayor of Halifax says we want to have a public beer spigot, where would you place one in this town?
Well, I'm surprised that has not been put in place for the August-long weekend with Keith doing their big to-do on the waterfront. Yeah. There could be a spigot right there, and they could be handing out crafted Keith's ceramic mugs, steins, and all you have to do is just walk over the spigot and fill it up and keep on going. I mean,
yeah, you could have decorative like water fountains, the ballets like they have over in Vegas.
That'd be awesome.
If you want to bring tourism in, that's how you do it.
That's how you. Okay. I don't know.
Hey, now, you'll have uppity people saying, what about the children? They may get splashed with beer in the eye. Oh no, and he is done. Well, another interesting moment for the Hangouts. Oh, and TikTok,
wow.
Here he comes back.
I mean, it's, you know what, Bell? I'm not going to pay you. I am not going to pay you for a couple days just because.
Oh, you can't blame it on Ma and Pa, Bell. They're just a small grandma shop that's just trying to eke out a couple of pennies.
Well, we're trying to eke out a little hangout, try to entertain the folks out there on internet land. And what you need is consistent internet.
I don't think it's just a hangout situation right now.
Everything's poor tonight. Everything's poor. People are complaining. You're getting
scroogled.
I'm getting scroogled. People on the chat, they're getting angry because their chats are not coming through. They got to reload. All right, let's switch
this podcast over to the dark web.
Or Blab or something like that. All right, let's do one.
What? Oh, actually, Kevin McLean might be right. It might be those gravity waves.
Oh, my God. You know what? Did you remember the episode of the Star Trek, the Graviton Waves?
Yeah.
And when you saw it in the news, like, yes, I've heard of this 20 years ago. Why did it take so long?
Well, actually, I was reading up about it, and I don't think after a beer, we can't really talk about it because it's just –
No.
Way too complicated, but I guess they tried to prove that it existed a couple of years back, which probably matched up to that Star Trek era, and they found that the evaluation was just faulty. So this has actually been, I guess, the better version of actually proving the theory of gravity waves.
Now, gravity waves was first theorized by Albert Einstein like 100 years ago. Well, close to, a while ago. So, anyway, I haven't read the in-depth as to what it means for us, but it is very exciting. I mean, they just need to, the fact that we've been basing everything on electrons or electromagnetic fields, but there's a totally different way to see these fields. I think that would be kind of interesting.
I think we're entering the age of the Silver Surfer. That's what it is. Yeah, gravity waves? I mean, come on. Galactus is just knocking on our door.
Hey, guess what? Hey, since we talked about Silver Surfer, talking about Marvel, no, we're not going to talk about Deadpool. We're going to talk about how you can improve your cosplay. Hey, you feeling frisky with the missus? And she's thinking, oh, be like Tony Stark. And you're like, hey, let me order the mask, Iron Man mask, so that it flips up just like in the movies. Yes, you can now buy the Iron Man mask that flips up with LED lights so that you and the missus can save the universe.
All I can say is that that's got to be effing expensive. There's no way that's going to be like a Toys R Us sort of special.
The Iron Man mask will run about $100 US.
What?
They didn't give a price for the Captain America shield, which is what I want. Now, this is Hasbro. So Hasbro, the shield will be $100. It is 24 inches across, same size as the movie prop in the movies. Full metal finish.
Does it have that same nice deep clang as it makes contact with Nazis?
Don't know, but it does have those nice leather straps. So as you hold it, just like Captain America does. But does not explain the magnetic attachment when he just flings the shield on his back. How it just snaps into place does not explain that. Mm-hmm.
I think that is probably explained by the same way that Marvel superheroines somehow have bras that just magically keep everything up.
Yes.
Just don't ask questions. But seriously, the Iron Man mask, $100?
Really? Yeah.
I'll be totally
into that. I don't know what the size the helmet's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be like a motorcycle size helmet or it's just going to be this ginormous head
It's kind of what I would want is actually Majoran, Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
That would be awesome to have.
That'd be cool. All right. So anyway, just to let you know, kids, Toys R Us might have some expensive toys for us, finally.
Mm-hmm.
No more Legos.
Or just 3D print it.
Hey, GC Storm on the live chat says here, hey, I guess it's stout night because I started with a Russian Revolution. Now I'm having a glass of my ginger snapped brown ale.
Ginger snapped brown ale? Which one's that one?
I think that's a homebrew. That sounds like a homebrew. Roger, is that a homebrew?
Yeah, because that anything that has ginger snap in it's got to be good.
That sounds really good. Something I would love a little bit of ginger to soothe my sore throat tonight because I'm having a really tough time talking tonight.
What you need to do is suck on a fisherman's friend.
I did not buy any this week. The missus, she had the same thing earlier in the week. She said, oh, I need some fisherman's friend. Yes, go get some. And I asked her tonight, yo. And that's how I talk around the house. Yo, give me some fisherman's friends. And I was like, I didn't buy any. I'm like, I got to hang out tonight. I need fisherman's friends.
Is that actually a Canadian product, fisherman's friends, or is that a American?
You know what? The first time I saw fisherman's friends, I was doing community radio at college. Well, college. I was there for 9 years. So it was community, more community than college. Anyway, one day I was going into the show. I think I was doing the drive time show. I'd play some cassettes, some democracy stuff from the States, and then I'd play my own stuff. Anyway, somebody left a pack of Fisherman's Friends on the console for the audio and all the sliders and all that. And then I'm like, I had never seen this. What is this? And I take out a piece, and I'm like, taking a piece of the Fisherman's Friends. Like, what is this? And I am sniffing, trying to lick it. And like, what is this? And then at the same time, I was in a fishbowl, and someone was coming up, and they were looking at me during this whole process, me trying to sample a fisherman's friend, and they were just laughing their ass off. It's like, dude, put it in your mouth. It's good. Smoking Ape. He's having some cider tonight, having some Angry Orchard crisp apple. Num, 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 num.
So by the way, I'm at the Fisherman's Friend website, and it looks like it is a Canadian.
Is it?
Entity, yep. And its illustrious history goes way back to 1865.
Now, for those of you who don't know what the Fisherman's Friends is, it is a lozenge to soothe your sore throat. It is basically eucalyptus and menthol. It is disgusting. It does not taste good at all. But you know what? Anything wrong with your throat, you pop these babies in every 20 minutes and you can survive.
Actually, I'm going to pull up the see if I can pull up the screen for that
one. Yeah, it's worth it.
So there you go. So you can see that initially it was in liquid form. Liquid form.
Oh my God. Sailor, yes.
Go fig.
Yes.
So, like as you said, it was a combination of menthol and eucalyptus liquid for fishermen to take with them on the stormy and freezing trips to the North Atlantic.
Oh my God! Can you admit? I need that liquid stuff right now.
Yeah. To be honest with you, and that looked like it remained constant for quite some time, like that. Mm. And then you can see how they kind of expanded. Fisherman friends are exported for the first time to Belgium and Norway. So we're like, no way, U.S. This has got to go way across.
Where it's cold.
That's right. And yeah, I don't know where it actually is actually produced. It doesn't say. Interesting.
Yeah. I tell you, it's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What does the lozenges contain? It contains nothing, just eucalyptus and menthol.
Oh, I love the fact that they're suitable for vegetarians. Yeah. They're gluten-free. Good to know. Are they suitable for celiacs? Yes. Are they kosher? Yes.
Halal approved?
Halal? Yes. Wow. It's like the wonder drug for everybody. Amazing.
It's so disgusting. The first time you put one in your mouth. We have to do a react video if we didn't have to pay a license fee.
They killed that, eh?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. You know what? We should, for those who don't have Fisherman's Friend at their local drugstore, put it in the live chat. I'm going to have to send you a pack of that so that you can try next time you have a sore throat. It is just the best.
So hey, when we're telling you to go suck on a Fisherman's Friend, we're actually trying to be something polite.
Yeah. On the live chat, Roger says here his ginger snap was a Christmas seasonal kit from Festa Brew. And Mike says here Fisherman's Friends work very well. And what else? Was there another one here? I think that was it.
We got the Spoken Ape says it's cider night.
Yes, I mentioned that. He's having the Angry Orchard Crisp Apple.
That one seems to come up quite a bit.
He likes the cider. He's been doing a lot of cider. He's doing a lot of cider at home. He's doing a lot of experimentation there from his YouTube videos. So
I think we need to have an intervention.
Well, he's probably doing the harder cider, which is... Okay. Now, I tried the Bulwark Hopped Cider not too long ago, and that was different. It was different. You know, you're expecting cider, then you get this big slap of hops on the side of your face. So you're like, I still drink it because it's like 7% or whatever it is. It wasn't expensive. It's not expensive, but...
I have a hard time getting into the ciders. I really do. I try. I don't know.
I like the harder stuff. There's that style there where it's seven. You know, where it's the higher alcohol. It's not a spritzy. It's just hard. It's hard cider. Smoking Ape says here that they sell the Fisherman's Friends at the sporting goods stores. So it is available down his way in Maryland. So down in the States, which is good. It is the bomb. If you have not tried it out, I tell you. I think I might have to go to a drugstore right now. Go get some.
I think Google needs a Fisherman Friend.
Oh, you know what? Next week I'll have the bag right here. I'll be popping them in like throughout the show. I'll have like four. Have a Fisherman's Friend and a hoppy beer. That is a taste experience.
Jeez, we might as well throw in all the Canadian in there. Have like some Smarties on the side and then one of those Macintosh caramel toffee bars.
Toffee bars. All right, so let's wrap it up for the evening there because I think my voice is pretty much done for the night. Folks, if you're watching live, thanks a lot for the comments. Podcast listeners, it will come up on the weekends, so make sure you comment, download, view, share, rate on iTunes. That'd be greatly appreciated. We're going to do this again Friday, next Friday. There will be a period maybe in March that we won't be able to do the Hangout, but right now we're still going strong. For those who do subscribe to the podcast, if you can do me a favor, give it a rating on iTunes if you're on there, and that will help the podcast get discovered. And that's about it. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for jumping in tonight. Really appreciate it.
Pod a problem.
Thank you, everybody, for commenting, and we see you guys next time.
Good meeting.
Good meeting.